Larry Good, as I said, is a missionary in Peru. Larry was a very successful businessman in town and went over to Peru and worked with orphans. God got a hold of his heart to do that. He did it for about 5 years, going back and forth, and then sold his business, left everything, and went over to Peru to work with orphans full time. And his ministry, the Lord has blessed this ministry, and is really kind of, even yesterday when I got together and talked with Larry, it is phenomenal how the Lord's just kind of escalated things, and how the reach and the broadness and the ways that they are ministering to orphans and families and equipping and training, not just in spiritual matters, but in life matters, to give them the ability to break the cycle of poverty, to find gainful employment, and to help the next generation. So let's welcome up Larry Good as he shares with us today.
Yeah. Happy Father's Day. It's so good to be back in Homer again. We've been here a couple weeks, and wow, I forget how beautiful it is here, and so it did our hearts good. I have a Father's Day joke for you. So this man and his wife were in the bathroom, and they were getting ready to start the day, and the man looked at his wife, and he said, "Man, I'm just getting so old and ugly and fat." Said, "I really could use a compliment." And she looked at him and she said, "Well, your eyesight's still good." So happy Father's Day. Why don't we just start? What's the next picture here? And we'll get going here. And so this is my boys here. I want to show you here, and our dogs, obviously. So this is Kevin to my left here, to my left, and then there's Pacho and Santiago, and our dog, that's Pacho's dogs, Missy, and that's our dog, Bino. So they go with us everywhere, and the kids love them where we work at, but that's our immediate family down in Peru. So the next picture here is of my son and Lily, and she's going to be my daughter-in-law next year, and so they came to meet family and so forth. So Kevin, Lily, why don't you guys stand up and let them meet you both. And then next to them are my nieces and my sister, Sandy. So thank you guys for coming, and I appreciate it. Lily came down with groups. We have a lot of groups that come down to and work with us, and one day, it was kind of the end of her trip. She had came down twice, and it was the end of her trip, and my son and her were hanging out quite a bit, and we were getting ready to go to work the next day, and she was going back to the airport that night, and I said, "Son, you know, let's get her a van so we can get her to the airport, and we got to get up early in the morning." He said, "No, I'm going to take her," and I said, no, we got to get up early, and he said, "Dad, I'm going to take her." I went, "Oh, really?" So here they are. But we're delighted to have her in our family. She just finished college in 3 years. She's getting ready to enter medical school, and she leaves next week for Africa to do some work down there for a few weeks. So she's my new daughter, I guess, here. So this is where we live at. This is Lima. This is the area that I live in. I live about 10 minutes off the coast here, the Costa Verde. And this is an area called Miraflores. So it's a nice area, as you can see. We're in the middle winter down there right now. So we're in our 60s. And so we're freezing to death down there, you know. So anyway, the next picture here is, this is where we work at. And this is where our centers are at. And I'm going to try to not trip here, but kind of show you right here is where our center's at, the little blue thing right there. And so we have two of those that we work in the slums with these kids and moms and so forth. And the next picture here It gives you a closer view there. We have trampoline and playground upstairs, and then we have the buildings for all the kids. So the next picture here will give you a close-up of the kids coming to it. We have the rainbow on the front of it. It's my job in life to make sure that the rainbow goes back to its original owner. And so that's the way we put it on all the buildings here. So the next picture here is just kind of giving you an example of what we do. So we have little guys, and we have big guys, and we have single moms. And then we help the elderly out too. But we have hundreds of kids that come every week, and we do a vacation Bible school every Saturday for them, and then we give them a hot lunch. And Pacho's up there teaching a Bible class right there, and then we have another class going. But this is just kind of gives you an idea where the kids get to come to. You have to understand that they're coming to a building that's very nice. It has video games. It has clean bathrooms. It has running water. It has things that they don't have. And so that's where the kids all show up here at the R2 Center. So the next picture here, it gives you an idea down on the bottom right of the kids coming into the center. Yesterday, we loaded up 3 busloads of just older teenagers and took them out of the slums into a nice park area where they could play in green grass and play soccer, and we had 170 kids yesterday, so that are hearing the gospel. So the next picture here, when COVID hit, that's what we saw in the streets. And I was just talking to Mike and his mom about getting sick, and I know that some of you guys did too, and I was sick too. I received COVID while we were down in Peru, and you had to have, to go into the hospital there, you had to have $30,000 up front before they would accept you, because they didn't know how long you were going to be there. And so my bill ended up only being $3,500, but I almost lost my life. And I got very, very sick. And without going into it, you know, the taste and the smell, you lose all that stuff. But I had something really vile, something horrible down in my stomach. And it was just, I don't even know how to describe it. But anyway, my boys took me to the emergency room. And I really thought that this was it, you know. And I was okay with that. But I thought that I had finished the race. And I had did everything I could for the gospel. And the boys began to read scripture over me. And I wasn't coughing. I wasn't running a fever. But I had lost 35 pounds in 2 weeks. And it just sweating and being sick. And I began to cough whatever was up in my stomach. And I coughed it out in a trash can. And the moment that happened, I immediately got my taste and smell back. Now, I don't know what it was, but I know that God touched my life right at that moment and said, no, I'm not ready for you to go. I was still very sick, but I was in the hospital another week, but I progressively got better each day. And so I got through it, and here I am. So we're going to show you a video here, kind of will explain what COVID was like in Peru and what we did. So let's see if we have that video.
For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Today, we started providing home meals for the poor. It's a program we're excited about. For the past 11 weeks, we have fed over 70,000 people. I mean, that's a big, gigantic number, especially for our small facilities. And so we would just bag up groceries and take it to their families, mainly because people could not even leave their homes. But now we're in a point where the people can leave their homes. We're having the safety rules and so forth and so on, but we're able to set it up where they can come to Casa de Luz and they can receive a home meal. The way we've set it up is that so we don't have big, gigantic lines, we've asked one person to bring their container for their family, maybe their neighbor's family, and then we fill those up for them. And so they stay outside and they go down the backside of the stairs. And so we're very safety oriented right now. You know, we couldn't do this without volunteers. And so we have the moms, the single moms over there that are volunteering their time to cook for us, and they're able to take home food for their families. But without their help and without your help, this is just absolutely impossible. Thank you for being part of the Lost Children of the World.
You might imagine, you know, when COVID set in, they told everybody, go in your home, lock the door, and don't come out. And so if you're where we were at, you know, I had food in my house, so we could go to the grocery store. Somebody could go to the grocery store, but you had to go back in. But these people are poor, and they didn't have food for tomorrow. They just had the food. And so when we were done, after 11 weeks, as you can see by there, we fed 150,000 meals. And honestly, I just was like, Lord, this is what you told me to do. And I am just, we may be broke when this is over. I don't know. But we're just going to plow through it and do what we do. And every week, without asking, the money was replaced that we had spent. And so God just continued to fill it. So we're still dealing with COVID down there. I have to put my mask on when I go back there, which I'm not looking forward to. But they're very slow on the vaccines down there now. They're doing people that are in their 50s. And so, and that's taken several months to get to that point. So anyway, we're moving in the right direction down there, but it is slow. So the next picture here, I wanted to tell you what happened right after the worst of the COVID set in. We had a fire happen. And so a lot of the kids that go to our centers, the fire swept through. They don't have electricity, some people, and a guy's candle caught on fire, the house, and it burned several houses to the ground. And so this is a house here. Now, this is where people live at, in the blue. These are kids that come to our centers here. And I was like, well, here we go again, you know. Lord, what do you want me to do? And we began to build houses. And so there was actually two people from this church here that built a home for the people down there that had lost homes. And so the next picture here, these are some of the homes that we're building here. And so we go in and we pour concrete because they're on dirt floors. And then we build homes just like this. And so the next picture here, give you an idea of what the kids we work with. This boy's name is Angel. And this is a home that he's in, and got a home built for him. But before he went, it's not all sad stories. Before he went to Casa de Luz, and before he found us, his mom found him with a rope around his neck. He had no hope in life. And now he's one of our best kids and volunteers, and man, that door's open, and he's there. So we have good news, too, and he also has got a new home. So the next picture here, this little girl's name is Laura, and that's one of the people in this church here that built a home for her, and she has lived by herself since she was a little girl. And she goes to Casa de Luz, to our center, and I want to tell you her story in a video. So if you would pop on that video, please.
Mi nombre es Laura, tengo 15 años. Tengo 9 hermanos. Desde los 7 años vivo sola.
¿Sí?
Sí.
¿Y qué tal vivir sola desde los 7 años?
Triste. Una vez me entraron a robar. Mi mamá vivía más antes aquí con mi papá. Y se separaron, peleaban. Y mi papá se fue de viaje, no sé a dónde. 8 años volvió y me compró esta casa.
¿Tu mamá, tu papá?
Mi papá.
¿Tu papá, güey?
Y me dejó esta casa a mí y se fue y mi mamá se consiguió una pareja en acá. A los pocos años le pegaba y una vez me acuerdo cuando mi mamá estaba durmiendo, mi padrastro vino y le pegó con un cuchillo y ahí están en la cama. Todo lo que está roto es con el cuchillo que le pegó. Y yo lloraba mucho porque no me gustaba que le peguen a mi mamá. Y hasta que cuando cumplí 8 años, mi mamá se fue con mi padre a vivir para otro lado. Y yo me quedé sola. Le extrañaba. A veces venía a visitarme. A veces no, pero igual le extrañaba. A mis hermanas chiquitas también les extrañaba.
¿Dónde trabajabas?
En el mercado.
¿A qué edad?
A los 11 años. Desde ahí comencé a trabajar. Vendía ropa, sí, y me daban para mi comida.
¿Solo almorzabas durante el día?
Sí.
¿No desayunabas ni cenabas?
No, me daba hambre, pero después me acostumbré. Y cuando iba al colegio, me desmayaba. Dijeron que tenía anemia. Un día vinieron a pintar mi casa. Y Olenka dijo, ¿puedo entrar? Yo no sabía que me iban a decir para que me dieran una carta. Yo le dije, ya. Y me dijeron, ¿puedo tomar foto? Y yo le dije que no, porque tenía vergüenza. El pastor me dijo, te tenemos una sorpresa. Y yo le dije, ¿qué sorpresa? Y me dijo que me iban a dar una casa con el hermano Largo. Y yo me emocioné.
¿Qué esperas de la nueva casa? ¿Cómo crees que será la diferencia?
Que ya no tendrá huecos, que tendrá llave ahora y ya no se puede abrir sola.
Acá estuviese la familia que está justamente donando para la casa. ¿Qué les dirías?
Muchas gracias. Que estoy muy agradecida. Que... que Dios le bendiga mucho. Que... le falte algo, que Dios nunca le haga falta comer, porque sé cómo se sufre y es feo. Le diré si me pueden dar un abrazo.
The sad part about this video is, to them, it's just normal. And it breaks my heart that they think that this is normal. So our job at the Lost Children of Peru is to teach these kids that there is a greater power that loves them, and this is not the way their life should be. And so thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping build these homes and change these lives.
Boy, you talk about wrapping something up. She said it's ugly. And it is ugly to be hungry. And it's ugly to not have a door that closes. It's ugly to not have water. It's ugly to not have just the normal things that we take advantage of. And so this is a really sad story, but it has a great ending because she's got a home and she's under our care at the Lost Children of Peru. We're still feeding meals and she gets fed every day. And she's under our care and under our supervision. And so these are good endings to some sad stories. So last year, I'll just move along here real quick. Reebok heard about our work and came in, and they brought us 450 pairs of new shoes. And so we had shoes stacked everywhere, and from every size in the world to whatever. But we gave out shoes, and then Starbucks came in and helped us out too. But here's the shoes the kids were wearing. And there's the new Reeboks beside him there. So these are really nice shoes that they gave the kids. So you can see what they wear. And go ahead in the next picture there. So they're just showing the, we took a picture of it with all their new shoes and so forth. So this is a really big deal to them, you know, to have shoes like that and to be able to get something nice like that. So the next picture here is... This is something else that's been on my mind and my heart for a long time, and I talked to Pastor David about it yesterday, what we're doing down there. So we're not only teaching these kids the gospel and keeping them alive, but we're trying to put something in their hands that they can make a living out of and not just, you know, teaching them how to fish. And so on the left there, this is one of the cakes they made. We opened up a bakery. And so the kids are learning to bake and to bake bread and to bake cakes and so forth. And we're trying to just teach them how to do that. On the upper right there is a garden area that will be built this month. We've got the roof on and the plants. In fact, I bought the seeds yesterday because we're teaching them vegetables and how to grow vegetables and things like that. I bought all the seeds at Omer's yesterday. So next time you guys see everything growing really good, you'll know that they came from Omer's. And then we also have a barber shop in each center that were teaching the kids how to cut hair. And so the kids are, these four guys here are really good hair cutters, and they're teaching the kids how to cut hair. And so the next picture here, sewing classes and wood classes and all of these things are just, listen, it's just to show them that they have something in their hands that they can go out and hopefully get a job. So the next picture here is, this is all, probably our biggest thing we got going right now. A company heard about us in Los Angeles through a friend of a friend. And so Kevin and I flew up to Los Angeles, and we're about to enter into the candle making business. And so the moms and older kids would learn to make candles. We learned how to make candles. I never knew how to make candles. And we learned how to make them. And so my son has taken over this project. It's a big deal because, you know, we're doing shipping from Lima to Los Angeles on ships and so forth and so on. But they are going to sell the product for us. And so we just have to get it ready, get it stamp approved, and send it off. So this is, we're really close to putting this thing into action. So that's Kevin there. And we spent a week in Los Angeles learning how to make candles. So what we're hoping to do to help provide money for the Lost Children of Peru, but also to provide jobs. So good paying jobs. So anyway, the next picture here, I'm about done here, but I have a couple stories I want to tell you, and then I'm done. And so as you might imagine, I have to deal with what is literally thousands of dollars and tens of thousands of dollars every month. And I have to decide where the money goes. Now, when you live in a sea of poverty, I mean, you could go to one person and not drop all the money there, you know. So it's endless what you do. But one of the things that's on my heart is taking care of the elderly. And so I just, something about it, you know, that it's just grasped my heart for them. And so about 2 weeks ago, I didn't feel that I had the money to do it, to continue on. We have a feeding program, so they would come in and get their lunch and dinner every day, and we put them in containers and take them up. And so I decided I was going to stop it for a little short time, and I was out spending time with the Lord that morning at my house, and the Lord just spoke to me. He said, this is wrong. You cannot do this. And so I called up my son, Pacho, and I said, son, how's it going, the program going with not feeding the elderly? And he said, well, I had a dream last night I got to tell you about. And he said, I had a dream, and this woman, who we know very well, he said, she came to me in the dream, and I asked her in the dream if she had lunch, and she shook her head no, and she looked at my son, and she said, but I'm hungry. And the dream ended. Now, I don't know how else you could hear from the Lord. When I heard from the Lord, and he showed my son a dream that very night, and so, of course, we're back to feeding the elderly again. And so my mistake, but God is really good and faithful to us to speak to me, to show me things that I need to do. So the last thing we have here is a video, but I want you to hang on just a second. I believe it's a video. The last one's a video, and then I'm done. But I want to just share a quick story. Is that video ready? Okay. So last night, I may get a little emotional talking about this. I was telling my little niece last night this story. But I used to own Captain Patty's out on the spit. And so every morning I would get up and I would up in the office area, I'd have time that I spent with the Lord before everything got started and spent just reading the word and so forth and so on. And this was years and years ago. And I was fixing to go on a mission trip to Romania. And it's in July. It's out on the spit. And I'm like, why am I going to Romania? You know, this is not a good time to be going to Romania. And I just was arguing with the Lord. And I just said, I don't think I should be going. I have a business to run. You know, there's other times. I stopped praying. I open up the Word of God, and I'm not kidding you. These words not only were in the Word of God, but it jumped out of me where I could literally see it off the page. And it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you to go. That's what it said. What do? You know? You either keep working or you go. So I went, and we went to Romania, and I loved every minute of it. I just loved every minute of it. I was so close to the Lord, and it was just wonderful and marvelous. And I came home. My life kept going on, running businesses here in town. And one day, somebody called me up, and they said, hey, we're going down to Peru. Do you want to go? And I'm like, I do want to go. Yeah, I wanted that yearning, that something that I was missing in my heart. And I wanted to go down there. And so that's been 17 years ago. And here I am. And so I'm going to end with a story here. This is taken off of I don't know if any of you saw the movie about the Apostle Paul on Netflix, but this is just a one-minute clip I want to show you, and then I'll say something, and I'm done.
You ever been sailing?
Yes.
Imagine yourself looking out at the vast sea before you. You reach down and you put a hand into the water and you scoop it up towards you. Immediately the water starts leaking through your fingers until the hand is empty. That water is a man's life. From birth to death, it is always slipping through our hands until it is gone, along with all that you hold dear in this world. And yet the kingdom I speak of, that I live for, is like the rest of the water out in the sea. Man lives for that cup of water that slips through his fingers. But those that follow Jesus Christ live for that endless expanse of sea.
I just love that. You know, listen, guys, we all live our life thinking we're going to be here forever, and we're not. So I want to encourage you, you know, God has called me to Peru, and that's where my life will be. That's where I'll die. But go to your neighbors this week and go to your friends and tell them about the hope that you have. Man, if you don't have the nerve to tell somebody about the hope you have, and I'm getting a little rough here, you probably should look at what you're thinking and what you're feeling and what's in your heart. It's easy for me to tell about the hope I have because I've seen him time after time, just hundreds of times, perform miracles in front of my eyes. You know, my best buddy is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just can't think of anything in the world that I would rather do than spend the rest of my life telling people about the hope that I have. These kids, with the boy with the rope around his neck, he didn't have any hope, but he does now. So once again, I want to thank you for your support. I want to thank you for your time. We have planes to catch, so we're not going to be around here much longer. My son reminded me before we came inside. He said, Dad, don't sit in there and gab. You got a plane to catch. So anyway, I see a lot of you guys out there. And Todd, I see you out there. And you guys, thank you so much for being so good to us. And David, it's yours. Whatever you guys want to do here, it's fine. So Lord bless you, man.
So we actually have a few minutes. So we'll do a Q&A, and then we'll go back into worship, and we'll close with the Lord's Supper. So does anybody have any questions for Larry? We'll do one or two questions. We don't need to do any questions. Yes, Jane.
Is what?
Water.
Oh, yeah, it's not good at all, you know. We get it hauled in by water trucks. And It's not good at all. You would never, ever drink water unless it's out of a bottle. Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. Rob?
No, they came over Christmas. They heard what we were doing, and they brought barrels of hot chocolate and lunch and hot lunches for the kids over Christmas. Yeah.
Anyone else? Todd? What's the best way to support?
Yeah, well, we don't do sponsorship children anymore because we just had so many. And so we have our website's lostchildren.org and lostchildren.org. And also we're getting ready to, I told David, we're getting ready to launch a new website. We've also been blessed by Google. Google contacted us here about 2 months ago, and they're offering us $10,000 Google money a month for free ads for the rest of our lives. And so, but to do that, you have to get a lot of stuff lined up. Facebook and where people can donate on Facebook and your websites. And so we've been just pulling our hair out, getting things ready for them.
Lots of infrastructure.
Yes, very much so, yeah. So anyway, the lostchildren.org, you can donate there, but it's probably in about 2 weeks we'll have a brand new site up, so anyway.
Okay, one more question. Okay, let me pray for Larry.
Okay.
Lord Jesus, again, I just thank you for Larry. I thank you for his ministry. Lord, I thank you for the example he is of just an ordinary guy who is successful, and you got a hold of his heart, and he followed your call, leaving it all to focus on giving his life in another way for the gospel and for the poor, for the orphans, for the widows, and all those that are associated with them. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, I pray with just the escalation of things with the businesses and the Google advertising and the companies and the candle making, Lord, I just pray that you would continue just to bring people around him that can support, that can encourage. Lord, I just pray that you would raise up the necessary people for infrastructure and resources for infrastructure. Lord, that they would maximize their ability to minister to people. And Lord, we just pray that you would do the most amount of good through the most amount of ministry, or I'm sorry, through the most, that you would do the most amount of good through the most amount of people through Larry. In Jesus' name, amen. Want you to respond. Maybe you have not been giving your life wholeheartedly to Christ, that you're halfway there and you're halfway out. You want to bargain and negotiate with him on following him, and he's calling you to completely surrender. Maybe there's been a prodding in your heart in some area, and you've been fighting and resisting, and he's asking you to surrender. Maybe Larry's sharing has expanded or broadened your horizons for life and ministry, and he wants you to consider something that may seem radical to you. Or maybe he's just inviting you, prodding you to give, to be more generous. Say that they can't afford to give, and which is really just means that I'm too selfish. I want too much and don't care enough about those who have less than me, particularly as it relates to the gospel. And so, Lord, I pray that as we close, that you would continue to speak to us, and that Larry's words would haunt us in a positive way, in this way, that your Spirit will not let us neglect them. So whether it's giving or supporting or encouraging, or that you're just expanding our hearts for life and ministry, or that you're giving us and calling us to a new boldness to share with those around us, Lord, that we would respond. So let's close with Psalm 67, 1 and through 3 for our benediction. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power amongst all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Go in the grace and the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit today.